This is Tactical Advantage with John Register, presented by Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center in partnership with Medicare Mentors, Wirenut Home Services, and Star Dental Institute. Tactical Advantage brings news, information, and resources to military-connected people of color throughout the Pikes Peak region. Now, here's your host, John Register.
And good morning. Welcome to Tactical Advantage on KPPF. Mike Lewis, I've got the honor and privilege to fill in for John Register this week. We've got a terrific program for you. I wanted to just let you know that Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center has so many great programs that are available for military veterans, their spouses. If you are getting ready to detach from the military, take advantage of what Mount Carmel has to offer. The Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center is located on the west side of Colorado Springs off 8th Street at 530 Communication Circle. You can find them at veteranscenter.org and, of course, on all the social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Let's dive right into our show. Our first guest today I'd like to welcome in is Dan Barker with Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center, and we're going to be talking about specifically the Vet Climb program. Dan, welcome. You're a veteran yourself.
Yes, and well, thank you.
Well, tell me a little bit about your service. What branch and what did you do?
I was Army for 20 years, infantry. Me, dumb grunt, me walk. No. now I got out and looking to be a social worker, so retired from Carson about a year and a half ago.
Congratulations. So, and thank you for your service. By the way, we say that to everyone, and 20 years in the Army, that's terrific accomplishment. All right. Well, Dan, you're in the next chapter of what you're doing, and you're helping veterans out. Now, before we go into some specifics, give us the overview of the Vet Climb program.
Okay. The Vet Climb program is something we do at Mount Carmel in partnership with L. Palmer Foundation, which is designed to deliver long-term intensive care management. Now, that's not just justice-involved veterans. That can be somebody that's unexpectedly getting out of service, someone who's having medical issues, somebody that just needs a little bit more time to get on their feet than normal Mount Carmel activities. Currently, most of our clients are justice-involved. And what we want to do is provide case management, supportive services, personalized mentorship, access to career and technology programs, employment preparation, and health and wellness coaching. Basically, a one-stop shop to help these folks get on their feet and to live the full life that they deserve.
Now, Dan, you talked about their justice-involved veterans, many of them, not all. We want to make sure that the program is not just for veterans who are involved in the justice system. Are you finding that some of these issues about being involved with the justice system have to do with their perhaps issues that they are dealing with getting out of the military, maybe PTSD, something like that?
It's definitely a mix. Of course, I'm not going to get into any details for my clients, but sometimes it's regular justice-involved things that anybody could have had happen. Other times it is PTSD or TBI-related. Just depends on the individual.
And what is the importance, if someone is involved with the justice system, what is the importance of working with you? How can you help that veteran move on and get through this chapter of their life, so to speak?
Coming out of the justice system, we help folks. Sometimes it's hard. For instance, there's only a handful of rental properties in Colorado Springs that will take somebody with a felony, no matter how many years ago, no matter what it was. So trying to find even housing can be difficult, or a job, or linking up with an education. Healthcare, you know, of course, the government provides that 1 year after somebody gets out of prison. But after that, how are they going to get healthcare? And we work with our partners and our internal organizations to provide that. At Mount Carmel, we can provide literally anything from behavioral health to grants to linking up with education to job searching. And some of our partners can help with working with VA claims, even eyeglasses. So it's a one-stop shop for what people need to get on their feet. And of course, everybody's a little bit different.
Well, Dan, how difficult is it for veterans to, so to speak, climb out of justice-related matters?
It could be very, very difficult. It seems like when they get out, everything is set against them. And it makes it so hard to restart their lives. They're starting from nothing. And in some cases, these folks have been in for, I mean, more than I've been alive. And now they're trying to get into a whole new society. When they went into prison, cell phones weren't even a thing. And now everything's technological.
What kind of services does Mount Carmel provide for justice-related veterans besides Vet Climb, please?
All of our other services are available for members of Vet Climb. Mm-hmm. So, for example, our transition education department works with any veteran attempting to find a job or education, and we will tap in and link in if one of our Climb members needs that sort of assistance. Or our behavioral health department, if one of our Climb clients needs that behavioral health assistance, we will link them in with our behavioral health department. So anything regular Mount Carmel can do, we will link in with our clients. Our job is that long-term management, that constant contact, being there to provide that assistance and those resources and knowing where those are and helping the clients acquire them.
We're speaking to Dan Barker in this segment of Tactical Advantage. He's with Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center, specifically the Vet Climb program. Who qualifies for the program, Dan? That's a great question. For some people listening right now, they may say, can I get in? Can I get help?
It's open to all veterans, primarily those who are justice involved. But if, for instance, a veteran has an unexpected medical discharge or they're planning to reenlist and the Army, big Army goes, you don't get to reenlist now. Mm-hmm. And they need the long-term help. Generally, they need to be committed to the program. It's between 6 months and a year, generally. Commitment to improve themselves as far as jobs or employment. So it doesn't necessarily need to be a degree plan. For example, some of our clients would work with the Goodwill learning job skills or some sort of apprenticeship or a certification like welding or car repair, something like that. And then constant communication and documented effort. We don't expect one of our clients to just magically be able to do all this stuff. What we want is that effort and that communication with us to show that they're trying. And that's the important thing.
Well, you're talking about effort. And when someone's dealing with justice-related issues, or maybe they're just dealing with PTSD, or they're coming out of the military and their life has changed, there are so many other programs besides Vet Climb that I know you'd like to talk about. Other services that Mount Carmel offers the veteran.
Like I was talking about earlier, we have our behavioral health, and that's nice because not only is it for the veterans, but it's veteran-adjacent. So say somebody gets out of the military and they've got a civilian roommate that just wants some help understanding that veteran, they'll do this. Or a veteran's fiance, most programs only a spouse would be allowed in. Or a veteran that doesn't qualify for other behavioral health services, say through the VA for one reason or another, they could still get that assistance and those resources through our behavioral health. Transition and employment, anything from soldiers just getting out of the military to, I referred a veteran that got out in the 60s over to transition education once. Just, they were looking for a job and they were able to help out.
Wow.
We also work with the county VSO, Veteran Service Officer. They assist with the VA claim. We're not VA, they're not VA, but they assist with the VA claim to help veterans get from the VA what they're due.
Okay. Well, are there some misconceptions? And if there are, let's go ahead and clear them up as far as Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center and Veterans Climb.
Biggest misconceptions is we are not the VA. For some reason, we work with the VA. We love what the VA does for veterans, but we are not the VA. We're not the government. And I don't know why lots of folks mix that one up, but Climb is not just for justice-involved individuals. I think we talked about that a little bit. And that all we do at Mount Carmel is give out grants. We have so much more. There's group therapy. There's yoga. There's so many different programs. I can't even list them all. Otherwise, I'd just spend this entire podcast making a list.
Okay. But take advantage. And that's why you need to go to the Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center and find out everything that's there. I mean, Vet Climb is just one small piece of the pie, so to speak.
Oh, completely. And the pie just keeps getting bigger. Right now for Vet Climb, we're looking on coordinating with the actual jail to do its program called Seven Habits on the Inside, Seven Effective Habits. And we're going to coordinate and work with them on that. We're also working on with the YMCA and Hybel Sports Medicine to do a fitness program for our Climb clients. Every day, especially with COVID lighting up, every day we're just adding more things, more programs.
And what is the latest on the Climb? I understand you've got some partnerships you're working with right now.
Oh my goodness. We have so many partnerships. Sheriff's Department, the jail, and the prison itself. We work with different housing organizations. We work with Pikes Peak Community College. I would list all of our partners, but I literally can't remember all of them. I've got a 2-page set of notes, and it still doesn't cover them all.
That's a good problem to have, by the way, Dan.
Our purpose is to provide support for all veterans, even those that are overlooked or cannot be assisted by other programs. And that's all of Mount Carmel. So the more partners we have, the more people we can work with, the better it is.
Hey, Dan, tell me a little bit more about Medicine and Performance Center. You know, when you're in the military, you take that physical fitness test. Most branches take it every 6 months. When you get out, you're not tasked with having to do that, but it's important to stay in shape.
Now you had to remind me of the physical fitness test. I was trying to repress those memories. But we're working with the YMCA and the Hybel Sports Medicine and Performance Center to add a physical fitness portion to our program. Look at about a 6-week program with education on how physical fitness can help. And that's the good effects, both mental and physical. Physical fitness are fairly obvious, but it also allows us to tailor it. For example, if somebody has an old lasting injury and just going to the gym isn't going to help, we could work with that and tailor it and use that trauma-informed physical fitness to allow a person to get to the maximum fitness level based on their capability.
It's a fact that a lot of military members have been deployed over the years to Afghanistan. Afghanistan has wound down now, but any thoughts on the current events, what you're seeing in Afghanistan? What are you hearing at Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center?
I've never personally deployed to Afghanistan, so I don't have that emotional connection mm-hmm. with the country that some do. And I recognize that. We're here to provide support and resources for veterans of every era, from beginning of the nation, if we still had any, all the way through the current conflict. And if you're a veteran and you need those resources, we at Mount Carmel are here for you. I'd ask that you contact us. And there has been a bit of discussion about the possibility of a Afghan-focused therapy, but right now, we don't have anything specific for it. But we still have our behavioral health and just somebody to talk to if you need it.
Okay. And sometimes just talking, that can mean a lot to someone. And it's so important to let veterans know. And, you know, if you're still in the service, if you want to go talk to someone at Mount Carmel, you can do so. And they have they will keep it confidential as far as I understand. Is that correct?
That is correct. I work at Mount Carmel. And I don't even have access to the behavioral health records, so...
Okay, so that's important. A lot of people want to know that. Dan, we talked about some veterans that are involved in the justice system. Do you have any justice-involved stories that you feel that you wanted to share with us today to kind of let people know there's hope, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak?
I can't go into any details because that most of the people I work with, that's their story to tell and not mine. Mm-hmm. I will say that the folks that we've assisted with climb tend to do much better than average as far as maintaining a stable lifestyle and not going back into the justice system. I'm sorry, I don't have anything in more detail, but not my story to tell.
I understand. I just didn't know if you wanted to. We understand confidentiality. We were just talking about being able to go to Mount Carmel if you have an issue and it's kept confidential and you're keeping that confidential with the veterans that you're working with. So it's a terrific service. And how long have you been with Mount Carmel again?
Been with Mount Carmel since February, so about 7 months.
All right. And sounds like you're excited in what you do. You did an internship there in the beginning. Is that correct?
That's correct. I started as a volunteer. Currently, I'm interning at Mount Carmel.
Okay.
And I hope to stay with them as long as possible.
Any final words or thoughts about what you see at Mount Carmel, their mission, how they're helping active duty, retirees, reservists, their family members? What would you like to say to this community if someone is thinking about Mount Carmel, they've heard about it, but they haven't picked up the phone or they haven't gotten in the car and they haven't driven over there? What would you tell people about that program?
Give us a chance. You look on our website, you can see everything we do. And I know a lot of veterans, a lot of service members are disinclined to reach out and ask for resources or help. We're not with the government. We're not with the VA. We are here for you. Give us a call. Send us an email. Give us a chance to provide those resources you need or would help you.
And Dan, a lot of those resources you don't have to pay for. Is that correct?
That's correct. Only two resources I can think of to pay for. Behavioral health works on donations or on occasion a scaled pay, and the optometry group that partners with us sometimes requires a copay. But other than that, it's free.
Okay. So take advantage of it. And again, it's open to active duty. It's open to veterans, any era of service. Also, spouses can take advantage of this program as well. It's terrific.
Yes. And just so you know as well, also, we will help no matter what your characteristic of discharge.
Okay.
Honorable, dishonorable, anywhere in between.
If you served, you're there to serve them.
Yep.
All right. Well, Dan, it was a pleasure meeting you. Thank you for everything you're doing with VetClimb at Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Dan Barker, thank you very much. It was very informative, and we enjoyed meeting you. Once again, Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center, the website, veteranscenter.org. That's veteranscenter.org. 530 Communication Circle, west side of Colorado Springs off 8th Street. The phone number, 719-772-7000. We'll be back with more of Tactical Advantage. We'll be talking with the El Paso County Sheriff's Office coming up. You're listening to KPPF.
Stay tuned for more valuable information on Tactical Advantage on KPPF.
It's time to smile again. At Star Dental Institute, Dr. Gary Moore and his staff specialize in general dentistry, dentures, and orthodontics, as well as sedation dentistry and dental implants at affordable rates. With COVID-19 restrictions being lifted, now is the perfect time to visit Star Dental Institute, Colorado Springs' premier full-service dentistry office and one-day denture service center. The message is basic. It's safe to come back to the dentist. To schedule an appointment, call 719-597-7979 or online at dentalcoloradosprings.com. Star Dental Institute, proud sponsor of Tactical Advantage. If you're Medicare eligible and military connected, Rich Lewis and Medicare Mentors will guide you through setting up coverage to make sure that you have the right options. Call Rich Lewis at Medicare Mentors at 719-886-3377. Medicare Mentors, personal guidance at no cost consultation for military connected service members. Committed to advocate for you today and all of your tomorrows. Proud sponsors of Tactical Advantage.
Now, back to Tactical Advantage with John Register.
And welcome back to Tactical Advantage. Mike Lewis covering for John Register this week. It's a pleasure to be here. Remember, Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center, they have so many programs for veterans. You can reach out to them at veteranscenter.org. Call 719-772-7000. Located on the west side of Colorado Springs, 530 Communication Circle. And I would like to welcome in from the El Paso County Sheriff's Office, Sergeant Kelly Davis. He is a recruiter with El Paso County Sheriff's Office, also a veteran himself. Sergeant, it's good to meet you.
Well, thank you for having me on.
It's our pleasure. Before we dive into the El Paso County Sheriff's Office, because this is a program for veterans, tell me a little bit about your military service.
Enlisted back in 1988. I did about just under 22 years. I moved around. I was at Fort Bragg my first tour. Then I went out to Fort Riley and then out to Korea. And then I became a ranger instructor and then a drill sergeant. And then I came out to Fort Carson and finished off my time here and retired in December 31st of 2009.
Well, congratulations. Now, were you involved in law enforcement with the Army?
No, I actually was infantry.
Infantry,
and,
okay.
And the big thing is what drew me to it is when you're in the military, you want to serve your country. Well, when you get out, and plus it's structured. Well, when I got out, I want to still serve the community that I was actually in. Mm-hmm. And it's good for the community as well as my family. And that was one of the big things for me because the structure is something that I always enjoyed. And I like to serve the community. And obviously, you'll figure out, and prior to us talking, I get it talking and I get off on a tangent, but I enjoy what I do.
All right. Well, thank you again for your service. And we're going to talk to you about El Paso County Sheriff's Office because you're a recruiter and I hear that you're hiring.
Yeah. Right now, we have a few different positions open. Obviously, deputy recruit non-certified. It is a good position. All of our deputies get paid the same. We run two academies, a post-certified and non-certified. Back in the past, when I first got hired, I went to the post-certified, and after the 22 weeks, we go down to the jail, get trained by a detentions training officer for 6 weeks, how to run the wards, what to log, the SOPs, and so forth. Well, then after a year's probation, we can move around within the agency. Well, about 3 years ago, the sheriff decided that we'd break down and go to a non-certified and a post-certified. Once again, like I said, all of our deputies get paid the same. They all do, but they just have different jobs. Now, the non-certified academy went down to 12 weeks because we don't need to teach our arson, traffic, and items such as that. And it's specific for the Detentions Bureau, which they work on the floors when they first start out. Now, at any point, you can put in for the Post Academy if it opens up and they want to go out to patrol. Actually, in 2019, I had an academy that was on its first week. The post opened up and they applied. Well, it got held off due to COVID, obviously. We weren't allowed to teach or anything during those time periods, which put a hamper, and it's on all law enforcement because we went a year without being able to hire people. Well, the non-certified position, we normally run 4 academies a year. Like I said, the post once a year. Once we get going, the starting pay while they're in the academy, they get paid is $57,241 annual pay, which is $27.52 an hour. After that 12 weeks, they get promoted to Deputy 4, goes up to $63,585, and that's $30 and some change an hour. It's a good position. Not only the deputy positions, is what I'm saying, we're short right now. We'd like to hire about another 40, 50 deputies because we're short right now. And if you look at it, about on an average, we'll lose about 2 to 4 people a month because you have people that retire. We have spouses that are in the military and they PCS. So we lose our officer or we lose our professional staff member that works there. And sometimes it's the spouse just gets another job, some in another state. So they move too, obviously. But so it'll probably take us to get caught back up, probably, I would almost say, towards the end of next year because of how long it takes to do the classes, do the hiring and stuff. But besides the non-certified position we got open, we got the detention specialist job open. Okay. But let me back up a little bit. Max pay after 3 years is $81,000, approximately $640 annual pay. I want to bring that up because it's a good second spot after you get out as a veteran. Good pay. We have retirement, and I'll get into benefits in a little bit later. Back to the civilian positions we have open, our professional staff, we have detention specialists right now. And what they do is inside the jail, we don't allow anybody to walk around by themselves if they're in there. So they're the ones that escort them to medical, to programs, to church services, whatever it might be. And then, and they start out about a little over $53,000 annual pay, which is good paying position. Mm-hmm. And then we have emergency dispatcher open right now. That's a very stressful job, you know, because I honestly think that it's just as stressful or more stressful than a deputy because they're the ones that are taking the calls. They're the ones that are sending deputies out or fire or emergency services, whatever's needed out there, and they can't see it. So understand it's a good position, but understand there is stress with it too, just like being a deputy. And they start out a little over 47,000, and then within 3 years, they're a little over 60,000 right around that time frame, give or take a little bit.
And of course, the training is provided.
Training is provided. They go through a training process as well after they're hired. Meg, one of the trainers up in dispatch, she's one of the supervisors. They'll make sure that they're trained fully before they're on their own. And plus, at the dispatch section, they're all together in one giant room.
Sergeant Davis, would you go back and just explain, because you mentioned it a couple times, what is the difference between certified and non-certified? What do you mean by that exactly?
Basically, with certified, easiest way to say it is with a post-certified, they have arrest authority 24/7, you know? Mm-hmm. And with a non-certified, they have arrest authority while they're on duty.
Okay.
That's the easiest way to explain. Now, our non-certified deputies work down the Detentions Bureau. They're on probation for a year. After that, they can move around. They can go from the floors to intake and release, court and transport. They could come over and be the recruiter. They could go to community outreach. There's different spots they can move to as well. Mm-hmm. But that's where they start out at, is straight up detentions.
Just wanted to clarify.
Oh, no problem.
Appreciate that. Well, let's go ahead and talk about the hiring process since we're talking about recruiting. What does it look like pretty much from start to finish?
Well, pretty much with the deputies, it's a little bit more extenuating backgrounds and stuff. It's usually open for a month. Like right now, it opened up last Sunday. It'll be open until the 30th of September. So once the application process closes, what they'll do is they'll go in online and they can apply online. They can go to our website, the Sheriff's website. Or they can go directly to the El Paso County website, click on jobs and then job openings. And then all the jobs for the county are in alphabetical order because obviously we're part of the county. Mm-hmm. And you'll find deputy recruit non-certified. Click on it. It'll give a job description, show the qualifications and everything. And then in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see the word apply in green. Click on it. And you can apply right there online. Once you've applied there, after that, if there's another job that you want to apply for, because you can have multiple applications going, you'd click on it, you'd change the name of what you're going to apply for, and everything else would auto-populate to save time again. And then Once I say after it closes after the month, then HR will collect up all the applications. They'll send them over to the background section. They'll look them over to see if they want to invite them to come test. Then after that, they'll go back to HR and then they'll send out an email. At that point, after the email's sent out, I give them about a day or two because you're looking at about a month and a half. And sometimes stuff starts going to spam and everything else. Mm. So I'll call each individual and find out if they're still interested in testing. Now, we used to do it in person. Last time we ended up doing it online because of COVID and everything. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I call each person, find out if they were interested. Then after that, then I would send them the information to go in with a username and password. They'd go in, there'd be instructions on how to do it and it'd be standard associates. And then they take their test. Once everybody's tested, because we don't know anybody, we put everybody in order from 100 down to 74 that passed the test. Because I think that's the fairest way that you can do it because everybody's a name then at that point because we haven't met them. Other than I have probably as a recruiter, sure. I've met some of them. But this way, we start at number 100 and we start working our way down the list. If for some reason we get to a class, because like right now we have a class in October, we have a class in January, and we have a class in March. The January and March are tentative dates because I know once a quarter we run a class. So let's say at the end, we end up at number 80 and we run out of time and that class starts. That list continues on until it's depleted. So then we get January in March an opportunity because if they pass the test, I guarantee they'll get an opportunity to get a, do the backgrounds. And if they pass backgrounds, at this point right now, you will get a job offer if you pass everything. Wow. So I just can't promise that you'd be in January or March's class because I'm not sure when they'd get to you. The process usually takes about 4 months. That's about what we give them to do it. But if you're like number one, well, obviously your background, you'd be contacted a lot sooner than the person that might be number 74 on the list, you know, because they start and they complete because the background section, you know, does about, they have about 40, 50 backgrounds going at once because they're doing the civilians, the contractors, as well as sworn personnel. Mm-hmm. So it was, there's so many because they might be doing one packet to turn in. Each of those investigators is doing like 40 packets they're working on. And on top of it, you know, they when they start the backgrounds process, they'll get a backgrounds investigator assigned to them. So if they have specific questions, their background investigator, they can call them and help them out with it. Because once they start the background, they'll have 5 days to get their paperwork turned in. Mm-hmm. And I always tell them ahead of time, start collecting up the last 10 years, where you worked, you lived. One of the biggest things is make sure your reference knows we're going to call them. Because in today's time and age with everything going on, if I call up and start asking questions about you, your friend's going to probably hang up because they don't want to answer personal questions about you because you might be trying to steal their identity or whatever. Right. So that slows it down sometimes. So I always brief them, make sure to let your references know. But I will stop at that point.
Well, I was going to say, unfortunately, and you know this probably better than I do, that there are scams out there. People, yep. You're getting text messages and emails and things trying to fish for information. So letting people know that that call's coming is a great idea.
Yeah. One of the things when you talk about scams and stuff, I actually had my name. My name's on right now. If you go to the El Paso County Sheriff's website, click on employment, I'm right in the middle of the webpage with my email and phone number, name and everything. I had a place down in El Paso, Texas. I actually got a call from a lady because somebody was using my name saying, hey, you know, this is Sergeant Davis, you know, blah, blah, blah. You need to pay this or else, you know, and she called El Paso and they were like, no, reach out. I know there's a Sergeant Davis up in Colorado Springs. And they reached out to me and she had the recording. She goes, I knew as soon as I called, because she left a message, that wasn't you that called me. And I was like, well, I wouldn't always remember.
Yeah.
We'll never call and ask for money from you. The sheriff's office and police, that's not our spot. That's the courthouses. They're working through their things. You'll reach out, go through them. It's never going to be the sheriff's office calling and asking you for money.
Good advice. Thank you for sharing that. We appreciate that. Let's go ahead and talk. A lot of our audience is military. We remember, those of us, myself included, what it was like to go through basic training. Is there kind of a basic training? When you talk about the training process, is it kind of like a basic training that the military goes through?
Less intense, shall we say, because it's very structured. It's going to get broke up just like you would. I'm thinking back when I was a drill sergeant. You assign a platoon guide, you assign section leaders, and stuff like that. We're going to do the same thing within the sheriff's office, but you're also going to have a training instructor instructor that's assigned to that group as well. Okay. So just like being a drill sergeant, they're there to help and stuff, and they help them through all the curriculum and stuff. Another thing to note on that note, when you're talking about those things, is like if you happen to, during arrest control, you know, twist your knee or whatever, and you can't continue on with training for a little while, we're not going to get rid of you. We're going to, you know, hold you to get you healthy and go through, just like the military in a sense, you know. Mm-hmm. But the training's very focused. We bring in, all of our instructors are from our office, basically. Okay. Except for we'll bring over, you know, attorneys and things like that as well. Mm-hmm. But what I'm getting at is we're going to use, our instructors are specific for that task. They'll come in with their assistants, help train, get through it. Okay. But the training deputies are there also to help you after they've left the class, because you got your arrest control, your driving, your firearms, all that. That is a big thing. Like for myself, it's, we call them auxiliary duties. Like I'm a firearms instructor. There's like 60 or 70 within the office. Mm-hmm. We have our main range master along with his deputy that runs the ranges and everything. But we help come out and facilitate the training to ensure everybody's, because we want to break it down to smaller numbers. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes people haven't touched a firearm before. So yeah, we're starting at step one. And then there's others that come out of the military that have touched them.
One other question about the hiring process I wanted to ask. In the military, they do have age caps. At a certain age, you can no longer join the military. Is that they're getting, maybe someone's retiring from the military, so they're not, you know, like they're not 18 anymore. Is there age limitations to apply for the sheriff's department?
Well, there's minimum age requirements. For our civilian jobs, it's 18. For our sworn positions, it's 21. Because once you hit firearms training, you have to be age 21. So we do allow people that are getting ready to hit 21 to apply at 20. But to be honest with you, I had a guy that was 65 years old in my academy when I went through. And that brings up kind of the retirement piece that I was bringing for, because he retired from a civil job on Fort Carson, came and joined us.
Wow.
With retirement, there's three different types. And the way I call it is, because you have to be vested. It takes 8 years to get vested. 8% of your pay goes into retirement. 8% after that 8 years, once you become vested, the county matches and adds another 8%. Hmm. But at the end, when you retire, there's a retirement check. And as long as you've done 20 years, your medical's paid for. That is a huge benefit, because as you start to get older, I'm not saying that I'm old, it starts to cost a little more is what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and that is one of the biggest benefits we have. So at age 55, if they're over 8 years, they can retire. At age, rule of 75 is how old you are plus the amount of years you've worked there. Mm-hmm. And then, and it equals 75. And then, you know, obviously the younger ones that come in at 21, you know, a lot of them are doing 25, 30, 35. I have an LT that's been working there going on 40 years. She loves her job. You know, Lieutenant Peck, I always bring her up whenever I'm talking, because one of the biggest things when I look at this is, I retired once already, like I told you. Mm-hmm. The reason I love the office is I enjoy the people I work with. I work with the community, the people around me. It's not unicorns and rainbows, everybody. Don't get me wrong. There are days, you know. Mm-hmm. But on the average, majority, what matters to me is who I worked with, mm-hmm, left and right of me, as well as the community that I'm serving. Okay. And I hope I answered your question. Like I said, I get a little excited and start talking a lot. So
no, it's terrific. And speaking of the community, and we've spoken with other folks from Mount Carmel, this community is very supportive of the military. I would, I'm sure you would agree to that. And I'm not trying to dive too much into politics, but there are some areas of the country where law enforcement isn't as well received. But I don't think you find that in Colorado Springs. Would you agree to that?
I would agree with that wholeheartedly, because I talk to officers all over the country, and some of them are wanting to come to us for different reasons. I'm not going to touch the politics thing. But what I'm saying is our county supports us real well. I was out at the El Paso County Fair, you know, doing some recruiting, and we were also doing community outreach. Our tables were set up together, and people were coming up thanking us and asking questions, and that was awesome. And you really notice the difference compared to some officers I talked to in other areas have some different, shall we say, issues. The things that we're facing, that is not one of them. I honestly think that the county here supports us overall wholeheartedly.
And that's important, because you want your community to have your back.
Yeah, well, the big thing is you always got to remember, we're here at the community's blessing. They allow us to serve them. And I always say this, and I always goof around with the new people, is always remember every job that you're in, from the mail clerk to IT to sworn officer, everything, we're all customer service. Sometimes some of our customers are having bad days, and we got to go out and deal with that situation. But always remember, we are customer service.
Okay, good advice. If you just joined us, we are talking to Sergeant Kelly Davis. He's a recruiter with El Paso County Sheriff's Office. This is Tactical Advantage. Michael is covering for John Register. Well, as one of two law enforcement agencies that participate in the Skills Bridge program in the area, tell us a little bit about that program, Sergeant, and how does it work?
Well, the big thing is I found out about it a couple of years ago, the year before COVID. But basically, the Army's been taking care of its soldiers, Air Force, Marines, everybody does it. It's the Skill Bridge program, they called it. We were calling it the Fellowship Program. And basically, what it does is it allows them to go out and work for different businesses. Mm-hmm. It could be 3 to 4 months TY. They basically work 35 to 40 hours a week, and they're learning the job. And it gives them a chance to find out from the military, you know, if it's a job that they want to do in the future. And it gives them the chance to start learning it, so when they actually apply for it, that they'll have the ability. Because like what I do with them, we have our civilian and sworn fellowship programs. If they're sworn, I'll put them down in intake and release. And basically, they'll be doing the same as an intake specialist along with the deputy. They'll book people in, release them. Mm-hmm. We teach them certain areas within that area. Mm-hmm. Sergeant Gomez has been a good help to me. He's one of the supervisors down at intake and release. And they train them how to do the job. And then, like, I have a gentleman right now. He's just finished up his program, and he's applying for detention specialist. And his application's in. When he goes in front of the board, all those supervisors down at the jail have already seen him. He's been there working for 4 months, because every day is an interview. He shows up on time. He's a hard worker. They'll know these things about him, and they're going to know the job, because you look at the job description, it's going to tell you, but he's going to know basically the ins and outs of it. So when he goes in front of the oral board, same as going for a sergeant and staff sergeant and stuff, promotion boards, he's going to feel comfortable because he's already done it. And hopefully he'll get selected and then he'll get hired on. That's my goal. We also have another individual. She's doing a civilian fellowship, and she's working over at the crime labs. And that's where the Metro Crime Labs, where CSPD and Sheriff's Office is together. And hopefully at the end of October, everything works out. Hopefully we'll get her hired on. I can't guarantee a job, but what I do is I guarantee them an opportunity to learn what the job is, be around the supervisor and stuff that's set on the oral board, and hopefully they'll get selected. And sometimes, you know, I had a couple individuals, COVID kind of messed things up last year, don't get me wrong, because obviously we couldn't bring them in and stuff. But I had a couple individuals that came in and didn't realize. They see the uniform, they see what's on TV, you know, you chase down the bad guy, you catch them, they go, hey, we're going to court. Hey, we got to do the report. Well, they don't realize how much actual paperwork it is. And two individuals that want to be deputies in the future realize it just wasn't a job for them. And it's better they learn now than, you know, start the job and then end up having to look for a different career. But that's two out of everybody. So I always bring those two up because it happens. It's not always going to be 100%. But right now I got five people waiting in the wing right now, waiting to start their background to do it. And then there's an additional one going through currently. So hopefully we'll have some more, because basically we do two or three a quarter. And since we're just getting it started, the sheriff says, hey, yeah, let's do three, see if it works out. Because the sheriff supports the military big time. To let you know, about 4 months ago, I went to, we actually received a certificate of recognition, and they brought in, I think there was like 15 or 20 employers. And what it was for is for efforts to hire military spouses and stuff, supporting the military, you know. And like I brought up, I had one in the fellowship program at the time. She was an E5, but come to find out, her husband was actually a deputy with us too, because when they PCS here, he put in for it and got a job and got hired on. And then she herself was an E5 in the military, and she came and did the fellowship program with us. And then I kind of tout that, because within the office, people you won't really know. We have about 160 veterans right now, and it's from every different branches. We have retirees. We have people that have done one assignment. We have some that have done two or three. And then we have some in the National Guard, the reserves, the whole nine yards. And we had a Coast Guard guy too. I didn't know we had a Coast Guard guy until he said something to me one day. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that, because myself and Deputy Seeley were going back and forth because he's a Marine and I'm Army, and we both taught T4C in the vet ward. And well, R&R, he did some of the vet ward. I did mostly the R&R, but we'll talk about that later. But it's just one of those things, you'll be surprised on how many veterans there are in our office.
Well, you don't have to be a veteran to work for the El Paso County Sheriff's Office or El Paso County for that fact. But what do veterans bring to the table that you see is a good first step to becoming a deputy or to work for the Sheriff's Department?
The big thing is they came from a structured environment already. Not as strict, but you know, we're still structured. We have a chain of command, the whole nine yards. And that comes in good. And plus the experiences, you know, from all different things. You know, some of them, I found out when I was out at community outreach one day, I had a one of the SWAT members was out there supporting community outreach. He goes, hey, don't you remember me? And I'm like, I'm sorry. Was I recruiter? What were we talking about? He goes, oh, I was in Alpha Company. You were Bravo Company's first sergeant, you know, and and then he ended up being a scout and stuff. But now he's with our SWAT team. And that experience of stuff that he'd done in scouts and different things added to him because he wanted to be a SWAT member. So he went and joined it. Now, you know, all those days, it's like I said, you know, I'd been a ranger instructor in the past. Well, guess what? I'm getting a little older. That's for the young guys with SWAT and items like that. But the nice thing is, like I was saying earlier, is that you can't work every job within 30 years. Everybody brings different things to the table. Mm-hmm. Maybe you happen to be a talker. Recruiting might be a good thing for you. Maybe community outreach, going out to different events, doing badges and books, different things that the office does. You know, or like I said, I've seen every rank from colonel, sergeant major, mm-hmm. private, you name it, from the veterans within the office.
That's terrific. Now, you touched on military spouses. Can you tell us just percentage-wise or just give us a feel? You do have military spouses working at your agency right now, it sounds like.
Yes. It could be we've had deputies, dispatchers. The big thing is the moving around and stuff. When you come in for an interview, we can go, hey, you got to be here 20 years. That's not what we're looking. We're looking for somebody coming in. They're honest. They're hardworking. You know, we can trust everything that's going on. You know, when we go do that, there's more to the board process. Don't get me wrong. But the point is, you know, if we get them for 3-4 years, we're just as happy as well. So I always, when I'm on Fort Carson, I always tell them, hey, make sure, don't forget about us. We have a lot of civilian jobs too, you know? Mm-hmm. And like I said, McArdle found out that was a deputy. Okay. You know, the spouse was.
That is one of the things we've spoken with other people from Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center, that the mill spouse program, because they, and you were a member of the military, the spouse is changing following the member throughout the community. So their career starts and stops, but it's great to know that you welcome them.
Yeah. And I think the big thing was, is because like I said, I've been married for quite a long time. I got 5 kids, you know, my youngest 22, we'll leave it at that. But the thing is it was always hard, you know, when my wife she'd work some spot, you know, 3 to 5 years, she'd go to another. And then all of a sudden you'd be looking, how long were you at this job? How long were you at that one? Because a lot of times they get there, you got to get on your feet. You know, the spouse is making sure that the soldier is squared away for his duty assignment and everything. Then they go out and start looking for a job. So they might not have this longevity of a job cycle because, you know, you're at the whim of when you get PCS. Exactly. So we don't look at that part of it for them.
Can you tell us a little bit about female and minority employees that are working for El Paso County Sheriff's Office, please?
Well, I'm going to break it down to, and overall for the county, you know, we're looking at this stats I had 737 earlier, 737,000 people for the county at the time, about 6 months ago. I've heard it's over 800,000 for the county now. Don't quote me on that. But if you're looking at it, you know, the black or African American is about 6.51% for the county. Hispanics is 11.3%. And now let's jump into what our office looks like. Mm-hmm. Our office overall is for Hispanics about 12%, so it's a little bit higher. And African Americans 6.7%, which is a little bit higher. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, you know, we're looking for good backgrounds and everything. Mm-hmm. And is you have a good background, I want to hire you. That's the best thing I can say, because we're short personnel right now. We're trying to get hired. And for our females, the country's average is about 11%, 10, 11%. Ours is approximately about 23, 22% for deputies. Our sergeants are 24%, mm-hmm. lieutenants 13%, and a commander's 14%. Basically, we're right around it. Obviously, you know, we'd like to raise up all of our numbers all the way around. Mm-hmm. But compared to the county, we pretty much reflect it. Mm-hmm. But and we try to hit all different areas, you know, different things with community outreach and stuff. Because if you look at community outreach and recruiting, kind of goes hand in hand at different times. We talk about each other's things when we're out. So that way we push different items. So
terrific. Great answer. Thank you. Wanted to ask you, because our first segment today featured Dan Barker with Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center. It's the Vet Climb Program. And one of the things that he addressed was there are veterans that have been involved in the, you know, the justice system. Can you speak to any of the programs that are out there for justice-involved veterans in El Paso County?
Well, one of the big things that we did, actually, our program actually started like Thinking for a Change back in 2008, and it was with Deputy Andrew Federer and Deputy Steve Dino, and they set up the program. And this is also our reintegration recovery program along with our vet program. Anyway, the vet program, we pretty much put everybody in Gulf One is what we used when we try to consolidate together, because, and we try to have sworn personnel that run the wards that have been veterans well, because you got people dealing with TBI, you got people dealing with, you know, different mental illnesses, and some of them are having problems with their PTSD of what they flashbacks and so forth. Mm-hmm. Well, if we put deputies that are familiar with it, it helps them out. Now, we have what we call the T4C, and it used to be called Thinking for a Change. And basically, it's five subclasses that, and when I taught it, I actually was one of the lead instructors a few years back, about 5 years ago. And it's basically just refreshing, you know, remembering, you know, count to five before you answer, you know, don't jump to conclusions right off the bat, because it's reiterating stuff that parents had taught us, you know, growing up and things, because people forget sometimes, you know, and we come from different backgrounds and stuff. And what red means to you might be different to me. I hate to use just a word out there, but you understand that where we come from, mm-hmm. you know, there's, if you look at, there's Coke, you know, pop, you know, sodas, all these different things by where we come from and stuff, right. You know, so it's an excellent class. And basically it teaches them, you know, think, because if you think about it, our military members and just people incarcerated, when they get released, they're going to be your neighbor. They're going to be your cook at the restaurant when you go to, whatever, you know. So we want them not to have to repeat offend. We want them to try to stay on the outside and be protective members of our community. So that's what the Veterans Ward and stuff is really set up for our veterans for. And like the IVOC committee, you know, let me back it up a little bit. You know,
sure.
The thing is that what they did is consolidate everybody together. We work through it. We bring in counselors to help work with them. You know, we have AA classes, drug classes, stuff like that. Because if you think about, somebody gets arrested and they come in for a DUI, one of the big things that messes with them is when they get out, they got to attend all these mandatory classes. They got to pay these things. Maybe they didn't get a job right away. Maybe they don't have a license where they can get to that class. They end up repeat offending, come back in. So we do some of these classes inside the jail to help prevent them from having to go to these classes and pay and not being able to complete it. Mm-hmm. So we try to complete it while they're in. The counseling is a big thing. And the IVOC, the Incarcerated Veterans Oversight Committee, committee. The chair is led by the sheriff's office, and it used to be Thomas Flinney. Awesome, Debbie. He really kickstarted the heck out of the program about 3 years ago. Well, let me back it up, about 5 years ago. And it expanded where people from outside the state, all across the nation, were coming here to see his program to be able to run it inside their facilities, because we want our veterans. Everybody makes mistakes. Let's be honest. Don't judge right off the bat. You know, let's try to get through it, and let's make it so then hopefully there won't be a reoccurrence, and they'll be out on their own and they'll do well. And another thing is the Veterans Trauma Court. That is a huge thing. It's where eligible veterans are moved from the traditional courtroom environment into the VTC under the supervision of Judge David Shakes. I believe he's still in charge of it, and he's a former judge advocate with the U.S. Army. The 4th Judicial District VTC is modeled after problem-solving drug courts, which have proven to be effective in handling criminal cases of substance abuse by heavy focusing on treatment, close probation, supervision, and so forth. A lot of these things, I just hit on just a couple. But if you go to the El Paso County Sheriff's website and click on the Veterans and Military Confinement Ward, you'll see all those things. Now, understand that COVID kind of, you know, kicked everybody's, you know, last year. So because of, we couldn't keep everybody together because people would get infected. We'd have to quarantine and stuff like that. But they're back up on their feet, and they're starting to get things running. The deputies have been teaching, you know, T4C along the way. The counselors, even when everybody was spread out, were going into wards, working with the veterans and stuff and trying to help them.
Well, Sergeant, we could go on for days, I think. You are just a fountain of information. We appreciate your expertise and your time. Maybe we'll get you back again. But again, any final words or thoughts? I know you're hiring, and if somebody's thinking about a career in law enforcement, how do they reach out to you?
Well, they're welcome to give me a call right at my office. It's 719-520-7356. If you don't remember it, but you just all of a sudden like, hey, I'm thinking about it, go to the El Paso County Sheriff's website, click on employment. Click on the salary and benefits page. That'll tell you all the good benefits, and which I'm going to touch on those a little bit before we go, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
And then also, right when you click on employment, my name, my email, and everything's all there. I know it says Kelly. That's me. So don't freak out when you call thinking you're getting a hold of a lady, because sometimes, like, no, I'm looking for Kelly. I'm like, no, it's me. But some of the benefits, like I'd like to talk about the benefits a little bit.
Sure, please do.
When you first get hired, you get 112 hours of holiday and personal time to use during that year. You also get 8 hours of sick time a month. You get 8 hours of vacation. Once you hit 5 years, you go up to 10 hours of sick time a month, 10 hours of vacation, as well as you go to an additional 8 hours of holiday time. Like for me, I'm 11 and a half years. I actually get 14 hours of vacation, 10 hours of sick a month, and then I'm just under 140 hours. I think it's 136 I get. And I take two-week vacations a year. My boss makes sure she has to let me off a couple days throughout the year so I don't lose any of my time, because we max out at 280 hours. And you'll be surprised over the years, it just starts saving. And then when you get maxed out, you have to use it, or otherwise you'll lose it. So supervisors are real good making sure that we get our stuff used.
That's good.
As best of their ability. And it increases another when you hit, don't correct me if I'm wrong, 15, I think you go up to 16 hours of vacation a month, plus that additional 8 hours of personal time. And the thing is I can honestly say, in my opinion, and this is why I like working at the sheriff's office, it's who I work with. I want to serve my community. I know the sheriff's trying to do his best to equal across the board. And I'm just like anybody else. You know, back when I was working in the jail, they'd pull one of my deputies patrol. I'm like, no, don't take my guy, you know. But now I've seen the bigger pictures the longer I've been there. And I can honestly say the chain of command always tries to make everything equal across the board and take care of its employees. You know, there's always going to be days you're like, oh, I wish they went to did that, you know, because you only know what's going on right here. But then you're like, oh, a few months later, you're like, now I understand why they did it, because they try to be equal across the board. It's kind of like when I was a first sergeant. You know, I'd have my three platoon sergeants, and my each of the platoon sergeants would want XXX. Well, you had to be equal across the board. And I can honestly say that about the sheriff and his staff is they try to do the best they can to make it equal across the board. And like I said, you know, I live by the 95-5 rule. 95% of them time I'm happy, 5% I'm kind of like, you know, and my 5% might be different than yours. I mean, like I said, my kids are adults. I don't mind coming in on the weekend, holiday, my off time, whatever it might be, mm-hmm. if something comes up. But human nature, when it's time to go home, I want to go home. If you catch a report, I'm kind of like, but you know, overall, it's good. And like I said, it's not unicorns and rainbows every day, but you know, some stuff happens. But you know, overall, it's an excellent place to work. And it's an easy transition for the military because they're already used to structure. Mm-hmm. If they want to promote in the future as they move up, it's an oral board, just like going to the E5 board, E6 board, you know. You get study material, you study it, and you go to the board and go from there. And one of the big things is when you look across the board, there's some deputies that have been there 30 years, they're deputies. Mm-hmm. They love to be out in the community. They love what they do. They don't want to go be a sergeant and be in charge of other deputies and have to wrangle them in and stuff. Sure. You know, I hate to say it like that. But, you know, they enjoy what they do. And then all of a sudden you'll see a lieutenant looks very young. Well, he wanted to promote. He studied. He worked hard. He worked his way up. That's just the way it is. So, but I love it there. Yeah. I can't speak for others. Maybe that's why I'm the recruiter too. I enjoy myself, but I'll let it go with that.
Great information. If you want to think about a career in here in El Paso County in law enforcement, and again, not that you want to see people move on, but this could be, you could get a job working for the sheriff's department and maybe move into a different agency at some point down the line if law enforcement is something you want to pursue maybe in a different part of the country, and you're getting the training. I know you're long-term. I understand that, but I'm just throwing it out there for everybody.
And the nice thing is you might want to start out in a civilian position and see, and then later on you'd be like, I really want to be a deputy. Well, then put in for it. There's no harm. Yeah. You know, I've had deputies, you know, times of like, hey, this is awesome, but I really like that job over there. It opened up and they put in for it. It has to be a professional staff position. Teach their own. They all want to do their own careers and working. The one thing I'm hoping is they all stay with us and we get more added. Sure.
Okay. We're going to leave it there. Sergeant Kelly Davis, recruiter, El Paso County Sheriff's Office, thanks for joining us on Tactical Advantage.
Well, thank you.
Stay tuned for more valuable information on Tactical Advantage on KPPF.
In today's tough economic times, it can be hard to make sure you're working with companies that have your best interest at heart. Because of this, you can count on the Wire Nut to go the extra mile to make sure that you and your investments are protected. You can trust the Wire Nut for licensed HVAC technicians, master electricians, and plumbers. The Wire Nut is your complete home service company. They strive to make sure you are comfortable in your home and that your home is safe. Call the Wire Nut Home Services at 719-465-5902. Online at thewirenut.com. Proud sponsor of the Tactical Advantage.
Now, back to Tactical Advantage with John Register.
Once again, Mike Lewis filling in for John Register this week. I want to thank our guest, Dan Barker with Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center, and Sergeant Kelly Davis with El Paso County Sheriff's Office. Just want to let you know there are a couple big events coming up this month in September. I wanted to highlight those. Mount Carmel is hosting a law enforcement and security hiring event. It's going to be September 21st from 10 to 4. There's going to be law enforcement employers throughout the region at Mount Carmel. Again, that's September 21st. Now, September is Suicide Awareness Month. The Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center is there to help. If you have any behavioral health questions, seek out the help. You've earned it. Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center. Also, September 18th, it's the Pikes Peak Mission to Zero. And let me explain what that is all about. That's the Pikes Peak Mission to Zero. And that is going to be held September 18th, 1 o'clock, a veterans motorcycle event to raise awareness and prevention for veteran suicide and raise funds that treat PTSD. Motorcyclists are encouraged to ride ride from Green Mountain Falls, wind down Ute Pass, and end at Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center. Also, September 18th, it's the MDH Buck 50 Trail Run. Colorado Springs Ultra Runner and veteran Tim Gore is going to be running 150 miles in the Badlands of North Dakota, raising awareness and funds to help treat PTSD and prevent suicide. He's running to benefit Mount Carmel programs. Mount Carmel's seen a big increase in treating veterans with PTSD, and they do need some additional resources to address it. If you would like to help out, you can visit the Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center website at veteranscenter.org, and please help out. Any amount is more than welcome. You are making a difference in veterans' lives. And if you're a veteran, remember, you've earned the benefits at Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center. Seek out the help. They are there to help you, and most of the programs are there for free. That's right. The funding has been taken care of. Take advantage of what they have to offer. Again, Veterans Service, Again, it's veteranscenter.org. The phone number, 719-772-7000. Well, it's been a pleasure filling in for John Register. He's back next week. You're listening to Tactical Advantage on KPPF.
This has been Tactical Advantage with John Register, heard every Saturday at 8 a.m. on KPPF, presented by Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center in partnership with Medicare Mentors, Wirenut Home Services, and Star Dental Institute. Listen to the companion podcast on kppfradio.podbean.com.